Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com. Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
The good news about a blunder is that it is a big, avoidable problem, and when you get it right, it can make a huge difference. Today, I'm going to talk about 7 turkey hunting blunders that you can fix to take more birds out of the woods. Hey, and welcome to another episode of the New Hunter's Guide, the podcast and YouTube channel, helping new hunters get started and bringing new insights to all hunters. I'm your host, George Kanitas, and today we are talking about turkey hunting blunders. All right, now as I mentioned, a blunder is a big, obtuse issue. It is not something subtle. It's not something tiny. It's a big, fat problem. Often something stupid that is easy to fix. It's easy to correct. It's easy to identify if you know what you're looking for. And then because it's easy to correct and easy to see, you make that adjustment. And when you stop doing a few big, fat, dumb errors, you can make some huge advancements in your ability to successfully take turkeys. All right, so today I want to talk about some blunders, some big, fat, obtuse issues and errors that people are doing that are costing them birds. If you're a new hunter, you might be making every single one of these. But don't feel bad, because there's plenty of hunters that have been hunting for 20 or 30 years that are still making a couple of them, and they'll benefit from this episode just the same. Number one turkey hunting blunder: not testing your gear. All right, you've got to test your gear. All right, now what do I mean by that for turkey hunting? Because this applies to all kind of hunting. Well, first and foremost, got to pattern your gun. Your gun, choke, load, combo, those three variables, very important. And every time you change one of them, you've got to pattern it again. All right, pick your gun, pick your choke, pick your ammo, go to the range and shoot some paper at 20 yards, 30 yards, and 40 yards and see what your pattern is. See what your point of impact is versus your aim. Get a feel for what that ammunition will do and if it meets your standard to take a turkey. If you feel confident of being able to hit a bird at all those distances. If not, then you either need to change something in your gun shell load combo or you need to change the way you're hunting. All right, case in point, if you're using TSS ammo and you're using a super tight 0.640 12 gauge turkey choke tube, and you take that shot and at 20 yards it's the size of a baseball, well, that's going to tell me right there, I either need to get a different choke tube that's not so tight, get a different ammo that doesn't pattern so tight, or don't take close shots. Now, what I just said would break the internet, all right, if I posted it on Facebook, because people are idiots, all right? Absolute ridiculous nonsense is going on in the area of turkey hunting guns, ammos, and choke tubes. People are trying to get the tightest possible pattern at 50 or 60 yards. They want 400 pellets in a 12-inch or a 10-inch circle at 40 yards, as if that would kill the turkey more than 200 pellets. As if that would kill the turkey deader than 100 pellets. No, stop it. All right. Being able to hunt long range is fine because every now and then you will have a bird at long range that won't come in any closer that you want to shoot. But most turkeys are shot at close to medium range, the vast majority. So if you're trying to choke your gun to be able to hit that turkey at 60 yards, you might take one out of 10 more turkeys. But then you might miss 3 out of 10 turkeys that are actually in at 15 to 25 yards because your pattern is so tight that being off by 1 or 2 degrees in your point of aim, or if the turkey moves its head, or if your arm quivers a little bit, or adrenaline, bad angle, whatever, you're going to miss. All right? We're shooting moving targets also, by the way. Okay, so you want to be able to hit the birds at the most ideal and most often range that they're going to come in at. And so that is usually in the 20 to 30 yard range. That's where most turkeys are shot. Certainly lots are shot closer. Certainly plenty are shot a little further, but not that many are shot at long range. So to focus your gun and your combo to shoot exceptional long range at the cost of regular range is dumb. Okay, you gain one turkey and you lose three. You want to make sure, however, that your pattern is the way you want it to be at the range you're most likely to hunt at. So if you're hunting over decoys and your goal is to call that turkey into the decoys, you don't need to aim or test at 50 and 60 yards. You don't need TSS ammo. All right, at that range, target loads will kill the turkey just as dead as TSS ammo will. Regular lead turkey ammo will work just fine. All right, now there are some people, they do hunt at exceptional long range, extreme range. Maybe they hunt the edges of big fields, and the turkeys never come in closer than 40 yards, and they do want a sniper setup. Okay, cool, great, fine. No problem with that whatsoever. That's probably like 1 in 20 turkey hunters, though. And so everybody else is setting up their guns stupidly, causing them to miss more turkeys because they're setting it up to be a sniper shotgun. And that's just not making any sense at all. You got to pattern your gun and make sure you get a good pattern at the ranges you're most likely to shoot. If your goal is to get that turkey to come in the 15 yards so you can watch it blink, well, then you need a pattern that will give you some margin of error at 15 yards. You don't even want a turkey choke. You may want an improved cylinder choke or just a regular cylinder choke with 7.5 shot target loads. That may be perfect for hunting that way. I set up and choke my gun to shoot about 25 to 50 yards. That's about the ideal range where I hunt. Very rarely do birds come in closer than that. You know, they say, well, George, if you were a better caller, then you could get them to come in closer. No. Actually, I couldn't get them to come in any closer because I would shoot them first. Why? Because I'm not an idiot. If I know my gun is ideal at 25 to 50 yards, I'm not going to let the bird get to 15 yards. I'm going to shoot him at 30 yards because I know I have the best pattern at that range and I have the most margin of error at that range. And so that's when I'm going to shoot the turkey, okay? That's just what I'm going to do. And I'm not going to try to shoot him at 70 yards. And ideally, I'm not going to try to hit him at 50 either. I'm going to let him get a little closer, get into the sweet spot, okay? Get him right into that 30 to 35 yard range with the TSS, almost impossible to miss. All right, get him in at 15 yards, and you could miss him super easy. 70 yards, not worth pulling the trigger. And so you've got to figure your area where you hunt. If you're in thick timber, 40-yard max range is probably all you need, and you want a gear for a 20 to 30-yard shot. So pattern your gun for the ranges you're most likely to shoot, and make sure your pattern is large enough at close range in order to be able to take those birds that come in.
At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Next turkey hunting blunder, not being stealthy enough. I don't know what it is. People can hunt deer sitting still without moving a muscle for hours. But when it comes to turkey hunting, they're talking, eating potato chips in the blind. Just doing dumb stuff. You gotta be stealthy. These birds can hear, did you know? They call. They make noises so that they can hear each other. This is what they do. You've gotta be quiet. You've gotta be still. You've gotta play your cards well. All right, hunting turkeys is a stealth game. You're walking into a spot, you wanna be super quiet. Especially as you start to get closer and closer into your spot. Stealth will only help you. Making noise and motion and so on is not your friend, and it's not okay. This is not duck hunting in a blind where you're waiting for birds to fly in from miles away that you'll identify at the edge of the stratosphere that you can then pick up your call and your shotgun and start calling and get ready. And you can just sit there and cook, you know, breakfast until that happens. This is not that. You got to be stealthy. Huge blunder. Number three turkey hunting blunder, not scouting. You can't hunt turkeys in a place where there are no turkeys. I've found so many places to me that looked like the best turkey hunting habitat you could ever find. Well, there were no turkeys there. There was no turkey sign there. I thought it was great habitat. The turkeys didn't agree. Or maybe too many other hunters also thought it was great habitat and pushed those turkeys out of there. You've got to scout. You've got to figure out where the turkeys are, where they're living, where they're going, where they're moving, when they're doing it. And to do that, you will have to leave your couch. You got to do it. Got to leave the couch. Go out into the woods. Get some binoculars. Get a crow call, maybe. Get yourself a game camera or two. You know, there's lots of places that you can go, and you can get like bundle packs of game cameras. People say, well, George, you got to buy a good trail camera. Got to buy good ones because the cheap ones don't last, and they're not as good, and they wear out, and they break, and they get water damage. That is true, and they also get stolen, which is why I don't put good cameras on public land. All right. I'd rather go and get, you know, three trail cameras for $60, even though I know they're probably only going to last a couple seasons, and put those on public land, than I do go out and buy a $200 trail camera. And I'm not against the $200 cameras. I've got a really nice expensive camera that I use, and I'm looking at getting another one. But it's on private land. It's on family property. It's not somewhere where there's any significant chance of it being stolen. So when you're on public land, cheap cameras are good, one, because they're cheap, and two, it's low risk. Low investment, low risk. If it does get stolen, you hate that, but at least you're not out $300, $400 for one camera. You've got to go out and find the turkeys. Figure out where the turkeys are. If you just wait till opening day and you get out there, you could get lucky. It has happened. It could happen. But better than getting lucky, okay, is putting yourself in position in a place where there's turkeys. Otherwise, opening day of turkey season becomes opening day of scouting. And the second, two, three, 4 days of the season become days of scouting. And then eventually you may find some birds get dialed in. If there's enough season and gobbling left, you might be able to get one. But you're better to do the scouting in advance so you can spend turkey season hunting turkeys instead of scouting turkeys. All right, you gotta scout. Number four turkey hunting blunder. This one is worth finding this episode, downloading it, sitting through everything I've said to this point, even if it's meant nothing to you. Number four blunder, not being patient when you have scouted. If I go into a spot for the first time and I sit down for an hour or two and I make some turkey calls and I don't hear any turkeys, I may very well get up and just go somewhere else. Why would I stay there? Why would I sit there all day or day after day? But if I've scouted a spot and I know turkeys come through that spot throughout the morning, sometimes early, mid-morning, late morning, and I know almost every day or every other day turkeys are coming through that area at some point in the morning, that gives me the fortitude, the faith to sit there and wait and hold off and be still and not move and not get antsy. Okay, I've got the data, I've got the intel, I've got the recon. I know the spot is sound. I wouldn't be here today if I didn't think it was my best opportunity to take a turkey. And 2 hours may go by and I hear or see nothing. But I could know any minute a bird's going to come out. Any minute could be the minute that the toms come into range. Could be the next call that I make. Could be the one that gets answered. And so if I've got the intel in the spot, I'm going to sit patiently. And if you've got good intel and you just get up and leave after an hour or two, you're making a major blunder. Major. Okay, one season I remember I hunted this particular spot that I'd scouted and set up and prepped and even put a blind there. I'm like, this is the spot. This is it. So I sat up there day one, nothing. I heard one or two turkeys hundreds and hundreds of yards away across other properties and roads. Day two, nothing. I might have heard one faint, distant gobble 1,000 yards away somewhere, or I might have been nothing. I'm not even sure. Okay, day three, I'm in the same spot, sitting there. 7 o'clock, 7:30 in the morning rolls around. Gobbler walks out of nowhere, materializes out of a bush, never called, never gobbled, never did anything. I mean, I was calling. He never made a sound, and boom, shot him and took him home. Now, why did I go to one spot for 3 days? They weren't all consecutive days. I had to work sometimes, but why did I go to one spot for 3 hunts in a row and sit there and not leave and not move and not go somewhere else? Why did I stick it out even though nothing was happening? Because I had the intel. I knew turkeys were coming through that area. I knew the birds were there. If they weren't there today, they're probably going to be there tomorrow. If they're not there tomorrow, really, really good chance they're going to be there the next day then. Because it's part of their regular movement and their regular area. Now, if I didn't have that intel, if I didn't have that recon, then I would not have sat there. I would have probably left halfway through day one. Maybe I would have come back for an hour or two another day, but I would not have invested that much time and energy into that spot unless I knew the odds were there, unless I knew the birds were there. All right. It's that kind of scouting that gives you the staying power, that gives you the faith to hold on when you want to quit, when you want to leave, when you want to give up, and that pays dividends. You don't scout, you won't have that confidence, and don't make the blunder of leaving when you know the spot is your best possible spot.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Number 5, turkey hunting blunder. Not protecting your ears and not being able to hear the turkeys when they call. Almost no turkey hunters wear hearing protection. Almost none of them do. It's unbelievable to me how few turkey hunters wear hearing protection. And yet, somehow, strange coincidence maybe, so many turkey hunters have bad hearing. And I wonder if there's a connection. I wonder if there's some relationship here. I wonder if maybe somehow, some way, these things, you know, are connected in some mysterious ways. Maybe we'll see it on Unsolved Mysteries at some point. I don't know. But odds are, if you're not wearing them turkey hunting, you're probably not wearing hearing protection hunting anything else. And if you can't hear, wow, is it hard to hunt. So you've got to wear hearing protection. I've been wearing Tetras for the last several years. The pair that I have right now, I bought with my own money, and I carry those into the woods with me every day, and they fit my ears perfectly. I forget that I'm wearing them after a while, and I can crank them up to be able to hear the turkeys louder and from further away than I can with my naked ear. And they amplify the sounds that turkeys make, while reducing the sounds that I don't want to hear, like wind noise or like other animals. All right, I set them to turkey mode, and they're tuned for turkey hunting. They're outstanding piece of equipment and machinery, and every time I pull the trigger, they become instant hearing protection and turn the sound of that Magnum turkey shell into something that sounds more like a BB gun. Keeps my ears safe and amplifies my hearing and my ability to hunt. All right, Tetra Hearing, absolute best stuff I have ever used, ever thought about using, ever seen, advertised, ever anything. Just unbelievable, the quality. That's my own personal endorsement from using them for years. Tetra is also the sponsor of this episode, and it's easy for me to tell you about how good they are because I've been using them for years before I tracked them down and asked them to sponsor the podcast. But you can go to my website, newhuntersguide.com. You can go to the show notes of this episode or just the About link at the top of the About menu, and you will find the link to Tetra's website as well as a 10% off discount code that you can use to get into your pair a little bit cheaper. Guys, you got to protect your hearing. And if you can't hear well, you've got to amplify that hearing. You take a hearing test before you order them, and they come calibrated to your hearing level in order to act like hearing aids if you need them to elevate your hearing if you've got hearing loss so that your hearing can be restored, and then they do everything else that I just told you about. Check them out. You can use health savings account funds, HSAs, in order to help purchase them. And so check it out, guys. Tetra Hearing, unbelievable stuff. Head to the website, newhuntersguide.com, for more. Thank you, Tetra. That was at number five. That was a bonus turkey hunting blunder. The real number five is not adapting. Not adapting, becoming too rigid in your plans or your strategies. There's a lot of people, they are blind hunters. They will go in their blind and they will sit in their blind and they won't leave their blind ever, because the blind is how we hunt. There are other hunters, they're one spot tree hunters. They will sit on that tree all day and night, no matter what. If they don't think it's a good spot, maybe they'll pick another tree next time, but they will not get up and move. And you've got runners and gunners, and they will run and gun all day and night, but they will not sit down for more than 15 minutes because they might turn to stone if they do. I don't know why. But anybody and everybody can get stuck in their one way, become rigid, and it will cost you birds. No two turkeys are the same. No two turkeys operate exactly the same. One strategy, one approach will not work with every turkey. It's just not going to do it. So you have to adapt to become what the turkeys want, what the turkeys need, or what is needed in order to get to the turkeys. You've got to be flexible. You've got to be willing to change it up. You've got to be willing to try different things. All right. I remember one particular turkey that I shot several years back. I was sitting in my spot early in the morning, heard some gobbles coming from two directions, real close, real exciting, thrilled with it. Had repositioned a little bit to be in a better spot between the two of them. Eventually, they flew down and they started walking up and coming in straight ahead of me. And these two turkeys came in to about 50 yards, maybe 45 yards. And I was so tempted to take a shot. I really wanted to take a shot. But I didn't have any TSS back in those days. They were outside of my effective maximum range. And I wasn't super sure about what was beyond the turkeys. There was a drop off. There was a hillside. I didn't really know what all was down there. And I didn't like the angle. If they were closer, I would have had a different angle. But where they were, it was not a great angle, even for a long shot. And I was really hoping they would have come in further. I didn't play that situation well. I got my gun up looking too much. I moved too much. I was calling too much. I had a stupid looking decoy and a bad spot for where those turkeys were. And for any one or all of those reasons, they made it to 45 yards and then just turned around and slowly moved off in the complete opposite direction. And then went over the lip of the hill, and I couldn't see him anymore. And I was totally devastated, all right? Just totally devastated and broken up about it. And so my mind starts racing. Okay, what about tomorrow? We come out same spot tomorrow, maybe set up a little differently, a better angle, this, that, and the other thing. And then I thought, you know what? Those turkeys are here now. They've already left. There's no way to mess this up worse than it's already messed up. It's the middle of the season. I don't know when I'm going to be able to get back out here again. I don't think I can get here tomorrow. So here's what I'm going to do. I got up and I went over to the edge of the hill where I last saw them, where they had gone down. And I did a little calling. And I heard them at a distance, sort of near the base of the hill, but they weren't coming back in my direction. They weren't really interested. So I picked up my gear, got everything that I needed to get, and I just went right back to the edge of that hill, and I started circling the hilltop, right? I'm going left from where I had started originally, and I'm at the top of the hill just so you can't see me from the bottom of the hill, but I'm at the top of the hill. And I'm using the lip of the hill to block any line of vision between the top of the hill and the bottom. Now, the hill is covered in brush, right? It's not just like open grass, but I didn't want to take any chances. So I'm at the top of the hill, and I'm going the direction that they're going. They're at the bottom, I'm at the top. And so I start calling every, 20 yards or so, 30 yards maybe, while at the top of the hill, trying to match their speed and their pace that they're walking around the bottom of the hill. And so I'd call, they call. I'd call, they call. They weren't coming up, but eventually we kind of got in sync. And I remember stepping on a big twig, big branch, crack. I was like, oh no, I have ruined it. It's over. And they gobbled, both of them at the same time. And I thought, okay, now these birds have heated up. All right. And so I had an issue, though. I ran out of property. I made it to the property line. And so what I did was I made it to the property line. I stopped calling. And then I backed up about 40 yards. Okay. As far as I could go till I hit another property line. And so I'm leaning up. I leaned up against a big tree at the edge of the property line, as far back and over as I could get, facing the edge of that hill where I thought those turkeys were most likely to be. And then I called with everything I had in me. I mean, I shook the trees. I just gave one big loud string of yelps. I wanted to make sure they could hear me. Then I put my call down, picked my gun up, and sat there and just waited and hoped. And sure enough, those birds climbed back up the hill on the other side of the hill. And they went too far onto the other property, but they came up the hill. And instead of coming right up in front of me, straight up the hill into my gun barrel, as I was hoping they would, they came up beside me from the other property and crossed right in front of me. I mean, broadside at 30 yards. And I got my turkey that day. And I was so excited and so stoked. And I couldn't believe that plan, well, it really wasn't a plan, but I couldn't believe that all those shenanigans actually worked. I was just reading the moment, trying to figure out what I could do, and pulled it together. Had I just left, nothing would have happened. But I refused to allow myself to get stuck in the original strategy when the original strategy failed. And I adapted, and I took a turkey home, and it was great.
Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com. The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Number 6 blunder, overcalling. Just calling too much. So many turkey hunters call too much. Now there's a time to call a bit, okay? Early in the morning when the birds are vocal, when they're being loud, if you're competing for their attention with other hens, you may need to call so loud that you shake the treetops. And you might need to call so often, but you need to read the temperature of the other turkeys. That's like 1 out of 20 times, okay? The rest of the time, people are calling too much. Calling every 5 minutes, every 3 minutes, every 45 seconds, it seems. For hours, it doesn't work. All right, you can call a little more right at the beginning of the day, but you gotta back off. You gotta just, because that's just not what happens as the morning wears on. That's not realistic. Now, depending on how you're hunting and what you're hunting, if there are turkeys in earshot, you think you don't want to call every 3 minutes. You just don't want to do it because there you're just going to give yourself away that something's weird over there. That just doesn't sound right. No, you got to call less. If you're hunting turkeys that you think are maybe crossing through the area and you don't know when they're coming and you don't know when they might show up or be within range and hear you, well, you know, you might want to call every 10 or 15 minutes. Other than that, I usually call, this is almost impossible to give you a good usually, because it varies so much by every situation. But I'd say every 20 to 30 minutes on average in an average scenario, whatever that is. Okay, so somewhere probably for most people, you want to call once every 10 to 30 minutes or more. More realistic is just to do some regular soft calling. I mean, just barely audible purrs and little soft clucks and maybe the occasional soft yelp. That works better than just big loud calling most of the time anyway. But if you're going to call loud once every half hour or every 45 minutes and then every 10 or 15 minutes, just do a little purring, because that's how real turkeys operate. Real turkeys regularly make turkey sounds, but they rarely do loud screeching yelps every 5 minutes. So you need to just cool down, calm down, and find your groove and get in it. Number 7 turkey hunting blunder, underestimating range. Oh, it's a big one. Oh, it's a big one. Pretty much nothing else you could do would get you more turkeys or at least fewer misses than if you can fix this blunder. Stop underestimating range. Oh, I think they're at 30 yards. It's 60. Oh, I think that's about 25 yards. It's 45. It's a fair poke, but I think they're within the 50-yard mark. This TSS can probably do the job. It's 95 yards. People are terrible at estimating range. Terrible. You're born terrible at it. The only way to get better is to practice. The only way to practice is not just to sit there and guess ranges all the time. You need feedback to know how your guess was. So what I like to do is go out, often in the preseason, when I'm scouting or preparing a spot or setting up a blind, but even during the season, I will do this as well, as I'll take my rangefinder and I'll look at a tree and I'll say, all right, I think that tree is this many yards. And then I'll rangefind it. I'll say, oh, okay. And I'll say, I think this tree is about this range. And then I'll rangefind it. And you do that enough and you start to begin to develop decent range judgment. Okay, you have to do it a lot to get really good at it. But if you just do it some, you can get good enough, proficient enough. All right, if you can keep your judgment within 10 yards of reality, you're doing pretty good. But the further away they are, the harder it is to judge. The difference between a guess of 20 and 30 yards is going to be closer than a guess between 60 and 70 yards. The further out they get, the harder it is. And people just so often assume that they're closer than they really are. Now, part of that comes from just being new and not knowing what turkeys look like up close. Not knowing what a bird even looks like at 10 or 20 yards. But you need experience and you need practice. You got to get out there. You got to range find. You got to test. You got to figure out, what do I do? How far are they? Set up some milestones. Set up some markers. If you hunt the same spot regularly, you should know where the 20, 30, 40, and 50 yard lines are. And then you should know, based on your practicing, how far you can shoot and how far is ideal for you to shoot. Like I said, if I'm set up for long range, I'm not letting the turkey get too close so that I can miss. If I'm set up for short range, I'm not going to take long range shots, but I want to know where's the threshold is for that setup. And so I keep my eyes on the trees, keep my eyes on the markers, stones, whatever you've got, stick in the ground, fallen log. Maybe you go out and you just cut a little line in the grass if you're hunting in a field. And you know that line is this range. Or whatever the case may be. You maybe you build a little, you know, half foot tall mound of dirt in a cut field. And so you know that's this range. And you're able to judge it effectively and with reasonable accuracy so that you don't make blunders in your range. All right? Happens all the time. So guys, I hope all this is helpful for you. Head to the website, newhuntersguide.com. Check out the show notes for this episode as well as the link and discount code for Tetra Hearing. I would really appreciate it if you head to the website, or excuse me, if you head to iTunes and leave a 5-star review with a comment. It's the number one way to help grow the show and reach more people. Thank you so much for listening. Till next time, God bless you and go get them in the woods.